Welcome to Creative Rising, my friend, a show about what it's really like to run a photography business. I am your host, Erin Youngren, and I am recording this episode for you from our studio, Skylight Studios, here in San Diego, California. Now, we are at the end of season 3. This is the very last episode of this season. And if you're new to the show, first of all, welcome. I am so excited that you are here and that you have discovered Creative Rising. If you don't know how the show is structured, then we do this show in seasons. So I do 9 episodes per season, and then I take a break, and then I'll do another season. So we're going to take a quick break of just a couple of weeks before we start season 4. And honestly, that is so I can keep this podcast sustainable, so that I can line up amazing interviews for you guys, I can write new refreshing content, and that's been a really wonderful rhythm for us here at the show. So if you want to check out some episodes over these next several weeks while I work on season 4, then I totally recommend that you check out episode 301. That is the first episode of season 3, and I talk all about time management. So I have a system of time management that I use for myself and that a lot of us here at our studio also use. And it's been really, really effective for us in helping us go after our goals. And it really helps us work on the important stuff in our business and not just all of the urgent stuff. Okay. Now, I only work part-time because I have a son. He's almost 2 years old. His name is James. And so I'm a part-time mom as well. And so this time management system helps me be a mom, it helps me be a photographer, and it helps me run a really effective business. Check it out, episode 301. Also check out episode 304. I interview the wonderful Abby Grace. She's a photographer out in Washington, D.C., and we talk about how to create healthy boundaries with social media. And so if you want to create a healthy relationship with your social media feed, listen to that episode. I absolutely loved it. That's 304. And then one of our most popular episodes of the entire podcast is episode 107. This is way back in season 1. So check out some of those episodes as well. And this episode is Jeff and I sat down and we talked through 4 things we do that turn our inquiries into bookings. And guys, time and time again, I hear from all of my listeners that this episode has transformed the way that they respond to inquiries in their business, and it has helped them get more inquiries and turn them into bookings. So listen to that episode 107 back in season 1. I'm going to put those links in the show notes for you as well, so they're easy to find. So those are some options for some great episodes for you to listen to during this break that is coming up. And if you're a dedicated listener to Creative Rising, thank you so much for all of your support, for all of your reviews, and for sharing this show with all of your really cool friends. That is how we have grown this podcast, is because cool people like you are sharing this show with other cool people that you know. Thank you so much, and keep it up over this break. Make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss season 4 when it starts coming out in just a few weeks. I am already working on season 4, and I'm really excited about the episodes I have lined up for you. All right, for today, this has been a season where we have been focusing a ton on the business side of things. And today's episode is definitely no exception to that. Today, we are digging into systems and workflows. And specifically, we are going to focus on your asset management. Now, what do I mean when I say asset management? Because that can mean quite a few things. Asset management refers to how you handle your images, specifically how you back them up, how you move them through your workflows, and how you store them and keep them secure and safe long term. So that is what we are talking about today. And asset management is a classic case of something that is critically important in your business, but it does not feel urgent most of the time. So it is something that can get really easily set to the side for a really long time, until all of a sudden it does become urgent, right? And when something becomes urgent with your asset management, that is usually not a good thing, because that usually means that something like a hard drive filled up, or a hard drive failed, or you simply lost some images. And those situations are just downright scary and insanely stressful. There is very little in your business that can cause your entire business to come to a screeching halt like a failing hard drive can or a failing computer. Okay. And if you have been there, if you have spent days on end dragging your Mac to the Apple store back and forth, trying to recover whatever you can, you are not alone. It has happened to all of us. I'm not even going to say the best of us. Like, all of us have experienced some sort of technology failure in our business. It's common. And so that is why asset management is so important. As business owners, we need to prepare ourselves for technology to fail on us at one point or another. And there are things we can do to help us through those situations. Now, if asset management is a struggle for you, you're not a terrible person, okay? We are all smart, capable, and caring individuals. And I don't believe for a second that you are a neglectful person, okay? A Creative Rising listener is someone who is a smart, capable business owner that is also very caring. You care about your clients. And I know that you deeply care about their images. The problem is that this part of our business, taking care of our files, taking care of our hard drives, can get incredibly complex very quickly. And it's also complex because technology changes all the time. And so sometimes it can be hard to keep up with, especially when you've got so much else going on in your business that you need to pay attention to. So that's honestly the big reason why I'm even doing this episode. Guys, this topic is not sexy. Okay, it's not the top of most people's lists of what they want to think about, but it's a really important part of our business that we need to think about. And I have found that there's just not much out there online that educates or that just really simply describes what an asset management system should look like for a photographer. So in this episode, I'm literally just going to tell you how to do it. Okay, I'm going to outline how we ourselves manage and back up our own images, and I'm just going to tell you how I think you should do it too. My goal is for you to literally take this system that I'm going to outline, take it as is, and just transplant it into your business. I feel like that is going to be the most helpful thing for you at this point in your business. And guys, you can trust our opinion. You can trust this system because we have been doing this for a long time. Jeff and I have been wedding photographers for 14 years, and we have a large studio today that handles thousands of files every single day. And I can tell you with confidence that we have never lost an image in that 14 years of doing business. Now, have we had things go wrong? And have we had to recover images from our backup system? Yes, absolutely. But that's rare. In fact, I think I can count those times on one hand because we're so disciplined and diligent about taking care of our files. But when we have needed it, when we've had to rely on our backups, our system has worked. And we've learned a lot over our 14 years of shooting weddings about how to handle large amounts of really important files. Now, asset management can get really confusing really quickly. So listening to me explain this whole workflow via audio in depth is going to be very helpful for you, but this topic also definitely requires some visual aids to help it all make sense. So I put together a cheat sheet for you guys to go along with this training. And that cheat sheet has two parts to it. The first part is a shopping list of all of the products that we use for our backup systems. So anything that I mention here is going to be listed there on that shopping list. So you can take that list, you can click on the links, and you can go to Amazon and buy everything you need. Okay? It's going to be right there for you and super simple. The second part of that cheat sheet is our entire asset management workflow just written out for you guys. Okay? And guys, I have to be honest here. I really went back and forth on whether to give this workflow away completely for free. I wanted to put this in our shop and have it as a product for you guys that you could buy, because in our shop, we sell workflows. Okay, you can buy our wedding workflow and you can buy our album workflow. And so I was going to make this an additional product for you guys to buy. That was the initial plan. But after thinking about it and after chatting with it through it with Jeff, we decided that this is something that is so important for photographers to get a handle on that we're going to give this workflow away for free. Okay, I have heard from so many of you guys that your asset management system is just not working for you because you just don't know what the best way to do it is, okay? So we're going to give this workflow away for free. And then in the future, I do want to create a more in-depth like video product of our asset management. And I am going to put something in our shop at that point. So that's a game plan right now. But what that means for you, which is really exciting, is that you can get our asset management workflow and our shopping list completely for free if you go to creativerising.com/309. Okay, this is episode 309. So creativerising.com/309. So go grab that as soon as this episode goes live. I can't go back on this promise. You're going to be able to get that workflow for free forever as long as this episode exists, which is going to be as long as I'm in business. All right, here we go, guys. Let's jump into the training. The goal of any system in your business, the goal of any workflow, and guys, I use the words system and workflow pretty interchangeably, so those kind of mean the same thing to me. The goal of any workflow is to eliminate confusion and to create clarity in your business. Your workflows, no matter if it's a workflow for how you communicate with a client before a wedding, if it's your workflow for doing in-person sales for portraits, or if it's your workflow for editing and delivering your jobs, okay? Any of those workflows that you create in your business, they need to tell you exactly what you are doing, exactly how you are doing it, and when you are doing it. So when you look at one of your workflows, it should be simple, it should be clear, and it should be really easy to follow. The true test for any of our workflows in our business is I ask myself, okay, could I give this to an intern? Could I give this to someone who is going to apprentice with us? Could I explain it once to them? And then could they follow it again a second time and get it correct right away? Okay, it should be that simple and that easy. Also, when you look at one of your workflows in its final simple form, it should make you feel less stressed. Okay, you should not get anxiety looking at a workflow. It should make you feel like your business is simpler and lighter. At least that's the way that I feel when I know that I've got a workflow that is actually going to work and is going to be sustainable in my business. There should not be a feeling of resistance anywhere. Whenever you feel resistance about a certain step in your workflow, that's a red flag, okay? Because the chances of you actually sticking to that part of the workflow is very slim. So if you feel any resistance, then just make a note of it and say, okay, that step, I need to change something about it and make it a little bit easier. What is causing that roadblock, that speed bump, that resistance? And I either need to change it now, or I know that I'm going to have to figure out a way to fix that in the future. Okay, so just pay attention to those areas of resistance in your workflows. And the same idea applies to your asset management workflow. We need to make it a workflow that you'll stick to and one that you will maintain over and over again. It is critically important with this workflow in particular, right? You need to be extremely consistent with backing up your images and maintaining your files properly, because if something happens to your images, it really affects your business. And like I said, you are a smart, giving, kind person that wants to take great care of your clients. So let's create a workflow that will set you up for success. Let's make a workflow that will make your life easier and it will not make your job more complicated. So in order to do that, your asset management system needs to follow three rules. It needs to be simple, it needs to be automated, and it needs to be redundant. Okay? This workflow needs to be simple so that you always know where you're downloading your files to, you always know how you're naming them, and you always know where you're backing them up to, and you will always know what to do with your files after you've delivered a job. There should be no questions in that whole workflow there. You should know exactly what's happening when. You should never be asking yourself when you get home from a job, okay, what drive should I download this shoot to? Do I have enough room on this drive? Do I need to clear some cards? Do I need to clear some space? That should never be happening because this workflow will be so simple and clear, it will just be automatic for you. All right. The next rule, it needs to be automated so that you can eliminate as much opportunity for human error as possible, okay? We're going to try to make this backup system an automated process wherever we can. We can't make the whole thing automated, but we are going to implement that automation where possible. And lastly, it needs to be redundant. Okay, this is obvious, right? This is the whole point of backing up your images. But this is worth saying and it is worth repeating. Jeff and I have always lived by the mantra that if you only have one copy of your images, then you have no copies. That is how dangerous it is to rely on a single copy of a job. At all times, two copies is the absolute minimum. Three copies is even better. That's great. And more than that is totally awesome. All right. So you need your system to create redundancies for you. So your system needs to focus on always having at least two copies of the job, ideally with one of those copies being offsite from the other if possible. Okay, that's not always possible, especially when you're traveling, but that's why Jeff and I always have four copies of a wedding when we're traveling. Now, I'm not going to go into that today. Today is about asset management in your home office, but we are extra careful when we're traveling because there's so much more room for error when you're on the road. All right, that is the groundwork for creating a proper asset management system. All right, it needs to be simple, it needs to be automated, and it needs to be redundant. So let's dive into this step-by-step process with keeping those three rules in mind. And I am breaking up our asset management workflow into three different stages. The first stage is the download and backup stage. So this is the stage that includes everything you do when you come home from a shoot, you download your images, and then you back them up for the first time. The second stage is the process and deliver stage. So this includes how you manage your files while you edit and you deliver a job to a client. And the third stage is the archive stage. So after you've delivered a job, this is what you do when you archive the images for long-term storage. Those are the three stages of an asset management workflow. So let's dive into the nitty-gritty steps of the workflow with the first stage, the download and backup stage. After you come home from shooting a job, there are three steps that you need to take right away. First, you need to download your images. Second, you need to rename them. And then third, you need to back them up. So let's walk through each of those steps and let's start with the download. So let's start with where you're actually going to download your images to, which is going to be your main external drive, which is what we call your working drive. And that's because this drive is what will do all of your heavy lifting when it comes to culling your images, editing, retouching, and just all of the processing that is going to happen while you're working on the job. This is the drive that you do your production work on, okay? Which means this drive needs to be a beast. It has to be something that has lots of processing power and really is something that you should invest some good money in because it's going to affect your production so much. Also, this drive should be a RAID system of some kind. Now, if you don't know what I mean when I say RAID, which is R-A-I-D, then Google it and you will learn all about it. Okay, it is a really complicated thing, but basically a RAID system, I think of it as a stack of hard drives and all of your files are duplicated across those different hard drives. Okay, it is way more complex than that, but that is how you can think of it. So What that means is that if one of those hard drive fails, then you're okay. Okay, you can just replace that hard drive and your files will be fine because they've been duplicated across the system in a very complicated manner. And so when you replace that hard drive, the system will then integrate that hard drive into the system. Okay, I'm not going to go any more into it because I barely understand how a RAID system works. If you want to learn all about it, like I said, Google it, or you can buy Jeff some whiskey and he will talk your ear off about it for hours. Okay, go nuts with that. For those of you like me who just want a working system and want to have a working knowledge of this thing, all you need to know is that a RAID system is what you need for your main working drive because it protects you against hard drive failures. You need to be in the mindset that hard drives are going to fail. Okay, it's not an if situation, it's a when situation. When your hard drives fail, what are you going to do? And so a RAID system protects you against that. Now, the hard drive, the RAID system that we recommend is the Promise Pegasus R4, which has four drives in it. I think it comes with four terabyte drives. You can confirm that. I'm going to have the link on the shopping list. And we actually use in our studio the Promise Pegasus R8, which has eight drives in it. So it's a stack of eight drives. But for most people, the R4 is totally doable for your wedding photography business. So that's the Promise Pegasus. We've used it for a lot of years here and we absolutely love it. Now, another one that we recommend is the G Drive, the 12 terabyte RAID system. So all of those will be listed on our shopping list for you to check out and make a decision on which one you want. Again, grab that list at creativerising.com/309. One thing that I do want to say about the working drive is that we do not recommend Drobo. That's D-R-O-B-O, okay? And that's because they have a proprietary file structure and they have a really slow rebuild time, okay? We used Drobo for a lot of years a while back, okay? It's been a long time since we've used them. And when we did use them, it worked fine until we had to replace a hard drive, which happens often enough that whenever we did it, the Drobo would sometimes take a number of days to rebuild itself when we would replace a hard drive, which meant that our main working drive would be out of commission and we wouldn't be able to edit, we wouldn't be able to do anything with our jobs for a couple of days. And that's just not acceptable for a working business, right? So that's just a note. We do not recommend Drobo, but we love the Promise Pegasus. And then we also recommend the G Drive. Also, lastly, last thing I'm going to say about the working drive itself is that do not download your jobs directly to the desktop of your computer. Okay, the hard drive of your computer is not meant to be your storage and backup system. Okay, you need to put your files on an external drive and it needs to be a RAID. Okay, that should go without saying, but I'm just going to mention it just in case anybody is confused. All right, moving on. That is your main external working drive that you're going to download your files to. Now let's talk about the actual folder structure and how to organize your files during this download, okay? On that working drive, you will have a folder called Live Work, and that's the folder that contains all of the jobs that are currently in process. That means it's anything that's been shot but hasn't been delivered and archived yet, okay? These are things that are still being edited and still being worked on. In that Live Work folder, create a job folder for the shoot that you are downloading and name that folder with a defined naming schematic. Now, I don't really care how or what you name your jobs, okay? All I care about is that you use the same schematic for everything you shoot. I just care that you are consistent with how you're naming things, okay? Don't name your job something different every single time because that's just super confusing and there's no way you're going to remember which jobs are which. With all of our naming structures, we name things the same all throughout the entire wedding workflow. So from the moment someone inquires, that job gets a name, and that name exists all the way through the life of the wedding. The weddings that are stored in our archive from 5 years ago, they have the same naming structure as when that person inquired. All right? We are incredibly consistent with this, and it has helped us out so many times. You have no idea. How we name our weddings is very simple. We basically just do the date of the wedding and then the last names of the couple. Okay. Nothing crazy, nothing complicated. So it's a two-digit month, two-digit day, and a two-digit year. And then last name of the groom, last name of the bride. So a wedding that is shot on July 4th of 2020 would be 070420, then the last names. Again, super simple. Do not overthink this. It doesn't have to be crazy. Just pick a naming schematic and stick with it. That is what's important. Then inside that job folder that you created, create a folder called 01 RAW. So the numerals 01 space and then RAW in all caps. That is the actual folder that you're going to download your RAW files into. And we use PhotoMechanic to do all of our downloading and all of our ingesting of our files. It's a great piece of software. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. And I'll also have it listed on that download cheat sheet. Okay. The reason that we use PhotoMechanic to download our files instead of just dragging files from our cards into the folder is because PhotoMechanic helps us ingest our files in a really secure way. Sometimes when we just grab files and we drag them and drop them, sometimes we just miss things. It's not often, but we want to eliminate human error. So PhotoMechanic is a way that helps us automate and ingest our files in a really secure fashion. PhotoMechanic, when they download files, will check to make sure that the file that is on the card is the same file that ends up on the computer. And so it does those checks for you. So we know that we're downloading everything and nothing gets missed. So that is step one of stage one, download. Step two is rename your images. Okay, once the images are finished downloading to the 01 RAW folder, then rename your images right away. Just do it right away and don't let it hanging because you just want things to be organized and set from the beginning so that all of your backups have the same file names. And we use PhotoMechanic to do this renaming as well. And the important thing about naming your images, again, is that I don't care what you do or how you name your images. I just want you to be consistent. And I recommend doing a very similar thing as the job folder, using the date of the job and then just a five-digit numerical sequence. All right, so a July 4th wedding would be 070420 and then 00001. Okay, four zeros and a one. That's a five-digit numerical sequence. Simple, easy, not complicated. All right, that is step two, rename your images. Step three of stage one is backup. So this is where automated really comes into play heavily because we have our main working drive automatically back itself up to the cloud using Backblaze. And that's, again, going to be on the shopping list that you can download. So whenever Backblaze sees new files on our working drive or any changes on the working drive, it will duplicate that to the cloud automatically. And we totally recommend Backblaze. We've been using them for a long time. And again, download the cheat sheet, the shopping list at creativerising.com/309 to get a link to Backblaze. One note that I do want to mention is that Backblaze duplicates what it sees on your working drive. So if you do delete something from your working drive, it will go away from Backblaze as well in 30 days. So you do have some cushion in case you accidentally delete something. Okay, that's how a backup system works. You need to be able to go get your backups, but definitely recover things quickly as soon as you realize you deleted something. Recover those things quickly if you need to. Okay, Backblaze is the primary offsite cloud backup of your working drive. All right, that is the main thing that protects your files. So you're protected against hard drive failure, and you also have an offsite backup of your images as well. Now, at this point in the process, let's talk about redundancy. At this point in the process, because Jeff and I shoot to two cards in our cameras, and because we've downloaded to LiveWork and now Backblaze is backing itself up, we have four copies of the job at this juncture. Okay, and that's great. If possible, we will wait to clear our cards until Backblaze is fully backed up, okay, so we can keep those additional copies, which most of the time is not a problem, and we're totally able to do it. We don't rush to clear our cards. We want to wait until the next shoot before we clear anything, and we just won't clear cards until we have to. because there's really no reason to delete images until we have to. So just a note that that kind of helps us keep an additional backup if we need it. But we also have one other backup that we do, and it's called our offsite vault. And this is an optional backup that you don't have to do, but feel free to do something like this if you would like. I went back and forth on whether to mention this one, but there's a few reasons that we do this offsite vault that I think would be helpful for you to keep in mind as well. So once we've downloaded the images to LiveWork on our working drive and we've renamed them and Backblaze starts doing its thing, taking those images and backing them up to the cloud, we also manually drag the job folder to just a bare hard drive. All right. Now, these hard drives come from our RAID systems over the years. We have about 14 of these just bare hard drives, and they are just a bunch of smaller, like 1 terabyte drives that used to be in our Pegasus, that used to be in, you know, all of our RAID systems over the years. And now we just don't use them anymore because we need bigger drives in our working drive. And so we decided, let's use these drives as a backup. And so we'll have one sitting on our desk and we'll just drag the wedding over. And once that drive fills up, then we take it. Usually it's like 3 or 4 weddings on a drive. We'll take that drive and we will store it offsite at our house. When we were doing this working out of our home, then we took our offsite drives to Jeff's parents' house. They live like 30 minutes away. So if you have a relative or a friend or somewhere you can store these drives offsite, take advantage of that if you can. And then when we take a drive offsite, then we take the next drive, we clear whatever's on it, and we start filling that one up again. And so we cycle through these 14 or so drives. And by the time we get back around to a drive, we've usually been storing something on there for like anywhere from 12 to 18 months, sometimes 2 years, depending on what's happening. And so, guys, this really is just a fail-safe backup for us, because once we clear our cards, we'll have a copy of the job on Live Work on our working drive, and then we'll have a second copy on Backblaze, and then this offsite vault creates a third copy for us that just helps us feel more secure. And there's also another big reason for these drives, for this offsite vault, that I'll be talking about later in the final stage of archiving. And that's going to make a lot of sense at that point. Okay. So hang tight until then for the final big reason why we decided to do this offsite vault. Again, that offsite vault is an optional backup that you can take advantage of, especially if you have just some hard drives that you're not using. You can use them as a backup system if you'd like. All right, so those are the 3 steps of stage 1. Step 1, download images to a Live Work folder on an external RAID working drive. Step 2, rename your images with a defined and consistent naming schematic. Step 3, automatically backup your images using Backblaze, and optionally copy the job folder to an offsite vault drive. This episode of Creative Rising is brought to you by Freedom Edits, the company that we trust with all of our editing. And I know that Creative Rising listeners are smart and capable, and you probably don't need to be told that outsourcing can do amazing things for your business. So if you haven't taken the leap yet, then it's probably because you just haven't found the right people that you trust with your images. Well, Freedom Edits knows this, and so they are offering Creative Rising listeners a really amazing opportunity to get to know their services in a risk-free way.
Yeah, they're giving all of our listeners the opportunity to have their first job edited completely for free. And I'm not talking about 10 or 20 sample images or a small portrait session or an engagement session. I'm talking about a whole wedding. You'll get to send that to Freedom Edits and they will edit it totally for free for you. No risk, no strings attached, just your chance to try out their services and see why we love them so much.
So if you want to get your hands on that offer, then go to creativerising.com/freedom. And that's where you'll be able to try them out and test out their services. creativerising.com/freedom. All right, it is time for the second stage of your asset management workflow: process and deliver. What I'm going to be talking about in this stage is not how to edit your images, okay? Instead, I'm going to talk about how to handle and move around your files while you're editing and delivering a job. So we use PhotoMechanic to cull all of our images, and then we import the images into Lightroom, which is where we edit everything. So with Lightroom, use a separate catalog for every job. Okay, that is simply the best way to do it, and I'm not going to go into all the laundry list reasons of why, because there's a lot, but this allows you to handle and work with each job separately instead of importing a ton of jobs into one single catalog, all right? This helps tremendously with your asset management. So create a new catalog for your job and save that catalog in the job folder on Live Work and name that folder O2 space LR space then the job name. Okay, so an example of a 4th of July wedding, the folder that holds the Lightroom catalog would be named 02 space LR space 070420, then the couple's last names. So that means that the 02 makes that Lightroom folder sit right next to that 01 raw folder. Okay, super simple, super clean, super easy to find. Once the catalog is created and it's saved in the proper place with the right naming schematic, then edit the shoot and process everything you need to process, okay? Once the shoot is edited, then you need to do a few things to prep the files for delivery. Now, right now, all of the keeper images from the wedding, because everything's been culled and narrowed down and edited, all of your final images are not named in sequential order, right? There's gaps in the numbering. So we want to rename the final images so that they are in a sequential clean order for your client. Now you could export the final images and rename the JPEG files that will go in your client's gallery. You could do that, but then the images on the gallery won't be named the same as the images in your Lightroom catalog, which may not be a big deal, but honestly, in our experience, it turns into a huge headache, especially when you're doing things like designing an album for your clients and they're referencing one file name in the client gallery and you're trying to figure out which file name that is in your Lightroom catalog. Again, we want simple. We want everything to be easy. And so we want whatever file name is on our client gallery to match the file name of the image in the Lightroom catalog. We want anyone in our studio to be able to go into the catalog and find the correct image. So we rename the actual raw files to be the same file names as the client gallery so that the images match up. How we do this in Lightroom is we create a third folder for the final images. And we create that inside the job folder, and we do this, all of this is happening within Lightroom. Okay, do not do this within your Finder window. Do this within Lightroom so that your files get moved around safely and securely. So in the job folder in Lightroom, we create a third folder and we name it 03 final images. And so you have 01 raw, 02 LR, and then 03 final images. You see what we're doing here? We're just creating all these folders in our job folder that are simple and clean. So in Lightroom, sort by all your keeper images, move them into the final images folder. And then in that folder, we rename them in sequential order using the same naming schematic of date, then 5-digit numerical sequence, just like we did before. So yes, when we rename the final images, there will be duplicates between the final images and the non-keepers that are still sitting in the 01 raw folder. Now, this is something that we had to consider when we first moved to the system like 5 or 6 years ago. But in those 5 or 6 years, there has never been a problem for us having those duplicates. Because when we archive the job, we delete those non-keepers and they go away. Okay, so it doesn't matter that there's duplicates for a short period of time. It's never caused a problem for us in all of the hundreds of jobs that we've done. So you don't need to worry about that. All right, that is stage 2. Process and deliver. It is very, very simple. There's not a lot that goes into it, okay? The main thing about this stage is that this is the stage where you create the Lightroom folder and you create the final images folder. So by the end of this stage, you should have 3 folders in the job folder that's on Live Work. Those 3 folders O1 RAW, O2 LR, and O3 Final Images is going to come into play in this final stage of archive. Are at the final stage of your asset management system. Stage one is download and backup. Stage two is process and deliver. And stage three is archive. So now the job has been fully edited, it's online, and it has been delivered to the client. So now it's time to think about where this job is going to live long-term. Okay. And this place that they're going to live is called your archive. And this should be another large external drive, but it doesn't have to be as powerful and as crazy as your working drive, okay? We do recommend that it's a RAID system to protect it against hard drive failure, but it doesn't absolutely have to be, okay? You will have a cloud backup of your archive. So if a hard drive fails, you won't lose all of the weddings or the jobs that you shot in the past, okay? You'll have that cloud backup, but having a RAID system means that if a hard drive fails, you won't be out of commission for very long. You don't have to go to your cloud and download all of these weddings from all of these past years. The recovery is much quicker if you use a RAID system. So for our archive, we use and we highly recommend a Synology Disk Station. Okay, again, that's going to be on the shopping list. And we use the 8-bay version, so 8 hard drives are included in this Synology. But the 5-bay version will probably work for most of you guys. You don't have to go as big as the 8-bay version if you don't want to. And what is so great about these Synologies is that they function on their own. Okay, they don't need a computer to be working because they actually have a computer built into them. So you can connect it to your network and you can access it. But it can sit there and it can back up even when you are not there, even when your computer is not turned on, even when you're away with your computer, all right? The Synology can work on its own and it can consistently back up. And Synology just released a tool that lets you push their data to Amazon Drive, which is something that you get free with Amazon Prime, and they give you free unlimited storage of photos, okay, and raw files count. It's incredible. So we are actually moving our archive to this Amazon Drive solution that pairs with Synology. We're moving to that from Backblaze B2, which is what we have been using because our archive is so huge. We need a really, we need a lot of storage for our archive. I mean, we're archiving 14 years worth of weddings plus another 15 or 16 years worth of shoots that Baumann Photographers, our commercial brand, has done. So we've got a lot of files in our archive. All right, that's the technology. That is the external drive that you're going to be using for your archive. So what does the actual archiving process look like from a workflow standpoint? Well, we actually keep a shoot on our working drive in the Live Work folder for 30 days after we have delivered a job. Now, why do we do that? Why don't we just archive a job immediately after it's been delivered and just call it done? Well, what we've learned over the years is that it is within that 30-day period that our brides and grooms and their families are most focused on their images and on their galleries. So the majority of the requests that we get to go back in and see if we have any more images of grandma or a different image of a family portrait, for example, those requests all tend to come within that 30-day window. And so it is so much easier to look through the job and work on those images while the job is still in live work. So if there's any tweaking, any additional requests or editing or retouching that needs to be done to those images, we can do it within that 30-day period. Now, I'm not talking about the album process. Okay, that will take longer than 30 days usually. But if there's anything for the actual gallery or the images, we can still work on that job for 30 days after it's been delivered. When we archive, like I mentioned, we delete all of the non-keepers, so we don't have easy access to them anymore. Now, we do have access to them because we have them on the offsite vault drive. That is the extra third backup that we did that's just sitting at our house. Now, It's a lot more difficult to get to, but we do have access to the non-keepers, and that is one of the reasons why we do the offsite vault. It's for those rare occasions that we need to go back into the non-keepers of a wedding after that 30-day period. And this usually happens when, say, a grandparent passes away within, you know, the last year after the wedding. If there's going to be some final images of someone, then, and it's within a year of the wedding, that is usually the time period that people are going to say, the last amazing images I have of this person is at our wedding. And so we like to keep those non-keepers for a year or so. Again, those situations are rare, but they've happened often enough to justify the extra step in doing the offsite vault for our couples. So that's just something to think about. Again, it's just an option, and it depends on how you feel about keeping that extra storage around. All right, so at the 30-day mark, our workflow in Tave, our customer management system, it tells us that it's time to archive a job. We're at 30 days, time to archive. So we go into Lightroom, the Lightroom catalog for the job. We highlight everything that's in that final images folder, and we export those images as a new catalog, which is a function that you can do in Lightroom. And we export them to the archive on our Synology. What this does is Lightroom takes all the images that you've selected. It copies all the raw files and the previews and everything associated with those raw files to the new destination for you. And it creates a Lightroom catalog that looks exactly like the current one with all of your same tags, all of your same categories, your folders, your collections, your edits, and your previews and everything. Once the new Lightroom catalog has been created in the archive and the images have been copied over, we open that new catalog, make sure everything looks right, nothing went funky in the process, and then we delete the job from Live Work, which then deletes all of the non-keepers, everything that was left in that 01 raw folder. Now you might be asking, okay, Erin, why don't you just delete the 01 raw folder, which only has those non-keepers, and then just move the folder over to the archive? Like, why do you have to go through this exporting as a catalog process? Well, what we found is that when we do this process from within Lightroom, Lightroom helps us preserve any virtual copies that we've made in the catalog, any TIFF files that we've made from retouching images, and basically just any of those kind of miscellaneous sidecar files that we've created in the process. Lightroom helps us do this in a secure way. It's the same idea as using Photo Mechanic to download our images. It does it just more securely, and it helps us automate the process in a way that helps us eliminate human error. All right, once that catalog is on your archive and you've deleted the job from Live Work, you're done. That is your asset management workflow. Your archive will automatically be backing up to the cloud, so that archive job will be backed up for you, and it'll be protected against hard drive failure if you use a RAID system like the Synology. So guys, that is the asset management system that we use here in our studio, and we also recommend to all of you photographers that are out there. Stage one is download and backup your images to an external RAID working drive. Stage two is process and deliver your images by using a single catalog for each job and creating a final images folder. And stage three is archive your images to an external RAID system as well that is automatically backed up to the cloud. All right, that entire workflow is going to be written out for you in that download cheat sheet. So download that at creativerising.com/309. So if you've ever struggled with asset management, grab this cheat sheet and evaluate your own system, or just take this system and duplicate it in your own business. Also, if you found this episode helpful, then I would so appreciate it if you leave a review, and then more importantly, send this episode to a friend. All of my Creative Rising listeners, you guys are smart, driven, and capable, and I love having you in our community. Over these next few weeks before we launch season 4, join our online Creative Rising community. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. This is our Facebook group where all of you guys get together and we work on our businesses in community. That is where I spend the most time online. So if you want to get in touch with me and hang out with me online, then get involved in that community. If you're already a part of the community, I love having you there, and get involved and be a part of that community even more. And if you're not in that community, go to the link in the show notes and request to be added. It is for professional wedding photographers only. We do have tons of portrait photographers in there as well, but it is for professional photographers who are making a go of this whole business thing. All right, guys, season 4 will be coming out in just a few weeks, so make sure to subscribe so you can see when new episodes land in your feed. I will see you there.